I have a confession to make to you this morning. We preachers tend to approach this passage in Luke with mixed feelings, really. For in the portion of Scripture, we encounter two of Jesus' most beloved and familiar stories, which deal with the lost sheep and the lost coin that are really a prelude, in a way, to the story of the prodigal son. But in all honesty, most of us who have preached from this Scripture passage this morning have worked and reworked this material over the years to the point that the risk is that it's going to go limp in our hands and fall flat, and I hope that doesn't happen today. Sometimes Jesus tells stories and parables in order to give us a better insight into the nature of God and also to change his listeners' consciousness about the world. At other times, Jesus not only tells us parables, but he himself becomes a parable, a living revelation and disclosure of himself of the nature of God. And I think in today's gospel lesson, Jesus is both the parable and the one who is telling the parables. It's the story of God's astounding love for us and the story of our Lord's association with sinners and tax collectors and outcasts. And I think we do very well to listen closely to these familiar tales this morning so that we can hear them again, really as if for the first time. As you know very well, Jesus was not without his critics, not without those who took umbrage at what he was saying, not without those who were well-spoken opponents who offered strong resistance to the images of God that he was sharing, not only through his teaching, but also through his actions. In this morning's lesson, Jesus' critics charge that this fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them. And of course, it's a charge that's very well documented. Especially in the Gospel of Luke, there are numerous instances that reflect this is exactly what Jesus is doing. He welcomes sinners, eats with them, sharing their table, eating their food, enjoying their company. To the Pharisees, who placed great stock in their religious purity and who believed any close contact with sinners jeopardized their very standing with God, Jesus tells these two little parables about a lost sheep and a lost coin. Now, you may well know that George Burns once said that the secret to a good sermon is to have a good beginning, a good end, and not a whole lot of space in between. So let's begin and turn to the familiar but radical words of Jesus as he responds to his critics. The first parable has to do with a shepherd who, even though he had 99 sheep safely in the fold, could not stand that one of his sheep was missing. And so he went out and he searched until he found the lost sheep. And when he found it, he tenderly put it on his shoulders as if the sheep were one of his own children. And he traversed the rocks and hills until he finally arrived back home. When he got there, he called his friends and neighbors, saying, "The lost one is here. Come on over. Let's have a party." And what a party they had. Dancing and singing and feasting and telling stories and tall tales. You could hear the sounds of the celebration for miles all around. And just so, Jesus says, God's kingdom ignites with joy when one who is lost is found. That's pretty much the same scenario with a woman who had 9 coins out of 10 safely tucked away in her pocketbook. But when she realized that one coin was missing, she got out the broom and she started sweeping. I would have loved to have seen the kids sweeping over there by Rick. She kept sweeping and sweeping until one lost coin was uncovered and found And she, too, launched a grand and glad celebration to which she invited all her friends and all her neighbors. Now, for a long time, I thought I understood these two stories. I mean, after all, they're fairly straightforward. They're apparently innocuous, aren't they? In the light of the story that follows them about the prodigal son, I always supposed that they had something to do with repentance, about coming to our senses and turning in the direction of God, having a change of heart. But I ask you, do sheep have the capacity to choose the good or bad? Do sheep have the capacity to feel sorry for their straying ways? And what about that coin? That metal coin is simply lying there amidst the dust and debris on the floor where it had fallen. By contrast, the prodigal comes to himself, doesn't he? But neither a sheep or a coin can do such a thing, to come to themselves in the far country of regret or remorse. Rather than repentance, these two parables are about the relentlessness of God's love and grace. Or as Will Willimon puts it, they're about the aggressive and stubborn grace of God. Jesus asks, wouldn't you, if you had one sheep out of 100 that was missing, leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that's lost until you find it? Now, truth be told, I doubt that any one of us would do that, would we? Really? Instead, we would watch over the ones who had the good sense to stay in the fold. Because in a very real way, it would be irresponsible for us to leave them in the wilderness and go out into the night after the one who's not there. Probably none of us would behave as that shepherd in the parable does. But then again, God is not like us, is he? Jesus, who is eating dinners with sinners and outcasts and causing great offense to religious leaders in his day, deliberately chooses a shepherd to be the major figure in this parable. The Pharisees in Jesus' day referred to shepherds as the people of the land, and that was their religious code that made very clear that they were forbidden to be the guests of shepherds, or to have them as their guests, lest they be defiled. They were prohibited from having any business at all with the shepherds. They not only distrusted those individuals, but they viewed them as rank outsiders, unclean sinners who were not under and included under the life-saving umbrella of God's redeeming grace. Because, you see, the Pharisees saw them as non-observant Jews. They could not keep the Sabbath day. They had to work. And that made them defiled. Fred Buechner says that when he thinks of shepherds, he thinks of one man in particular, a shepherd who used to keep some sheep some years ago near his home in Rupert, Vermont. He notes that some of the sheep this shepherd gave names to, and some of them he didn't, but he knew them equally well, either way. If one of them got lost, he didn't have a moment's peace until he found it again. And if one of them got sick or hurt, he would move heaven and earth to get it well again. He would feed them out of a bottle when they were newborn lambs, if for some reason the mother wasn't around or wouldn't own them, as he put it. He always called them at the end of the day so the wild dogs, the coyotes, wouldn't get them. Buechner writes, I've seen him wade through snow up past his knees with a bale of hay in each hand to feed them on bitter, cold evenings, shaking it out, putting it in the manger. I've stood with him in their shed with a 40-watt bulb hanging down from the low ceiling to light up their timid, greedy, foolish, but half-holy faces as they pushed and butted each other to get at the hay. If God is like a shepherd, he observes, there are more than just a few ways, needless to say, that people like you and me are like sheep, being timid, greedy, foolish, and half-holy is only a part of it. Like sheep, Buechner writes, we get hungry, and hungry for more than just food. We get thirsty for more than just drink. Our souls get hungry and thirsty, don't they? In fact, it's often that sense of inner emptiness that makes us know that we have souls in the first place. There's nothing that the world has to give us. There's nothing really that we have to give each other even that ever quite feeds the soul. But every once in a while, that inner emptiness is filled even so by love that searches us out. Like a shepherd, Jesus says, God searches for us relentlessly, and God feeds us, and feeds that part of us which is hungriest and most in need of being fed. You know, without any question, if the church family is about anything in this world, we need to be about bearing witness in our words and actions to God's desire in order to seek and embrace every manner and condition of human being, to touch them where they are, just like the mission team this week is doing from this church, and conveying to them that everyone is welcome. Welcome here in the presence of God. I'm not sure how many people there are in the town of Columbia and in our surrounding area who are not attending church because of bruises or wounds that took place in the past, or because of misunderstandings or messages that somehow did not ring true, or because of perhaps harsh or judgmental messages that were heard in their childhood from the pulpit. But I believe that there are hundreds, in fact, probably thousands of people all around us who are yearning to hear and experience the message of God's unconditional love and acceptance, and who want to discover why they should be hopeful rather than pessimistic in these disturbing and unsettling times, who want assistance in raising their children to be spiritually grounded and morally inspired persons, who wish to become personally engaged and spiritually enriched in helping those who suffer and who are weak. In fact, hundreds or thousands who are seeking a gracious fellowship in which they can sit down and affirm in a sanctuary like this, yes, indeed, I belong here. Whatever mess I'm in, no matter what kind of thicket I've gotten myself into in my life, I'm welcome, and I have a place here. Is there anybody here today, or maybe out in our surrounding area that we're called to serve, who doesn't need or yearn for a spiritual home and a beacon point in their lives? Certainly, we all need to find our way in this lonely world. There's nothing like a delicious casserole or a phone call or a card when we get sick. Nothing like another mother or father to talk to when your toddler is going through the terrible twos or the trying 15s. Nothing like some friends to to play tennis or golf with on a cool fall morning like this, except you need to be in church first. There's nothing like the prayers of people who love you when sickness or the shadow of death intrudes. Nothing like the glorious music and fellowship of this church to remind us that faith is about gladness and joy more than just about anything else. Of course, in one sense, you and I belong on the sheep, lost coin side of the equation in the stories that Jesus tells. We depend upon grace alone. But in another sense, you and I need not be shy about joining Jesus as shepherds and sweepers ourselves, taking risks as we reach out to people in love and kindness, trying to be like the one in whose image we all have been made. Because we are his people and his followers, we need to be about what Jesus was and is still about. As Barbara Brown Taylor says, we ought to question the conventional wisdom that says there are only certain conditions that the lost must meet before they're eligible to be found. We need to work hard to find those whom God wants to find, don't you think? And when we are at the end of our search, our gladness ought to fill the night with sounds of great celebration and great joy. Let us pray. O Lord our God, sheep and shepherds, that's what we are. Every one of us rode in here this morning on the shoulders of divine mercy and grace. Sheep in the sense that the eye of the good shepherd is always on us. Sheep in the sense that the good shepherd will come after us when we wander astray. But also blessed with the calling to develop our sheep herding and broom wielding potential. For Jesus' sake and in Jesus' name, amen.